Hey everybody, this is Heather, and you're listening to Simply Healed with Heather Leonard. Today's episode is called Let Go of the Potential in People. Yeah, you heard that right. We need to believe in what we're shown, not what we believe that they can be. So let me get into that today, because I started with this topic thinking I was going to go one direction, but it took a very, very different turn, I'll say. I'll put it that way. So you're going to want to listen to this one, guys. Here we go, and thanks for joining. Oh my goodness. So I have to start with a personal story today. This was supposed to be Lenny's episode. I don't know if you've been following me, but I've been talking about doing this interview with Lenny for a long time, and him and I just spent over an hour together and created the most beautiful episode. I've never been so excited about an episode. You know, some that just, I was like in the groove. We had the best conversation, touched on all the important things. It was emotional, it was important, and I recorded it in two different places to make sure that I had it. This is what I'll say. If you feel like you are healed, if you feel like you've done the work and you're in a good mental state, take something like this and test yourself. Because I recorded it in two places, guys, two places. And guess where it exists? Nowhere. I watched it record. It did not record his voice at all. And not only did it not record his voice, but the other recording is just nowhere. It's not on the cloud. It's not on my desktop. I don't know how to explain this other than this one possibility. And this is where I had to really show my growth, because, you know, you want to just be frustrated. But the reality is what we discussed today, him and I, was so important that I have a funny feeling that message needed to be heard from somebody in a big way. And my guess is they might not be rolling in listening to my podcast for another few weeks or whenever I finally get together with them again and re-record. And maybe they needed to hear this episode, so it couldn't happen in that timing. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we get so frustrated, but maybe that message was so important for someone else's life and it wouldn't have been heard if it was recorded and distributed this week. So I'm not even mad at it anymore, because that, or maybe our re-recording, we're going to touch on something even more important that had to be said that we had both forgotten about. I don't know. I gotta believe when you put something together that felt so powerful and you're about to release it to the world and then it disappears into thin air, that's not an accident. So I am not gonna beat myself up over it or lose any sleep. He's an amazing guy. It was an amazing episode, and it's gonna happen one way or the other. Even if the next one doesn't come out as seamlessly or whatever, it was meant to be at a different time, in a different space. So it'll happen. I just wanted to let anybody who's been waiting for that know he's just a great guy and it was really fun and we're gonna get it done. So don't worry about that. But back to this episode, potential in people, guys. This is something that, boy, a lot of my girlfriends talk to me about this a lot, about their men who have this great potential. And it's like a frustration for them, like just how, you know, good of a guy he is, just, you know, this current circumstance or this, you know, because they're under this pressure at work or whatever it is, there's a million excuses, but that they're not really willing to look at, as much as they're an amazing person and you clearly know that, what do they show you? You know what I mean? Like, what's 90% of the time look like with you? Because that's something I think is one very important to sort of look at, whatever, you know, a person in your life is showing you most of the time. And maybe it doesn't have to be 90%, but you know, at least tipping the scales 60% of the time, or more of the time than not, you know, how do they show up? Because you got to believe that. You got to trust that. You can't keep going back to, but there's such a good person inside there. Like, they have so much potential to be this. It's just, you're not getting the potential. You're getting actuality. You're getting what you're looking at. Hi, Stitch. This is my co-host today. Slurpee and happy to be here. And he wasn't even in the room for Lenny's. Maybe that's it. Stitch had to be on site. I can't believe I had a nice quiet episode without the dog bothering or anything like that. And then it didn't record. Ugh. Anyway, like I said, meant to be. But anyway, so here's the deal. So when somebody takes the mask off, everybody can see like this other version of them, right? But here's the thing. It's what everybody likes to show their best self. It's kind of more a question of like the end of the day, you get home from work and kick your shoes off and stuff. What is that person like? Do you know what I mean? Like, not when they're out in public and putting on a show for everybody and acting like they're the great father, the great husband, the great, you know, whatever it is, brother. what's going on behind the scenes and most of the time, you know, because your energy is going to be affected by the way they show up in the majority of the time with you. So if it's not a positive impact that they're leaving and you're constantly under stress when they're around because everything's in turmoil, then they are negatively affecting your life, you know, and that's hard to say because you're looking at them and saying, yeah, but they have the potential to be this, this, but they're not right now. They're not fully showing up in the best version of themselves. And that's an area where someone else needs some growth still. So you're actually acting almost like an enabler in the sense of like if you are allowing them to show up as not their full version, not their best self, and making that okay for them, it's kind of on you. And so this is where my story kind of took a split from where I thought I was going to be going to a totally different look at this. Because again, I like to say whenever we are looking at other people and pointing the finger of it's the boss's fault, it's the brother's fault, it's the husband's fault, my wife is this way, she's naggy, whatever it is, it's usually a reflection of you. So before we point our fingers, you know, I want to say, because yes, I definitely wanted to get into this episode kind of saying, hey, if you're hanging on to someone in your life who you should have let go of long ago, but you've hung on because you know who they really are, air quotes, it's probably time to let go, you know? But this isn't to say that they couldn't grow maybe later and you guys could, you know, connect again in each other's worlds in a positive sense. But what I'm saying is like, I originally wanted to say, hey, this is on them. They're not in a growth state. But I'm actually looking at it very different now and thinking, do you know what? It's probably not just them that has some growing to do. It's likely you, especially if you're making a list of their flaws. Means you haven't been spending the time looking in the mirror at your own stuff, right? Remember, they would not have been attracted into your world. They wouldn't be here right in front of you, you know, hanging out if it wasn't for you drawing them in because you're similar or you have similar qualities in yourself that need some work or any of that stuff, you know? If you make a list, let's start with that, on what has gone on with this person in your life and then read it back to yourself. Start there. And what would a stranger tell you about the person if you couldn't jump in and like make excuses for them? Like, what does the 50,000 foot overview of that list look like? You know, because if you start reading it back and you're like, oh, these are all the things where you feel wronged. Let's just start there, you know, where your parent or whatever, or your brother or your boss or your significant other, where they're wrong. If you made a list of all their wrongdoings and ways that they've negatively impacted you, and if you started with that list, then I think you'd be looking at this long list and going from the 50,000 foot overview, who would choose this person for one. But now if you take a look at that list and you think to yourself, okay, now I'm looking at this list. How did I attract each and every one of these qualities to myself? How did I act as a magnet, you know, or a mirror to reflect this? Like, what did I do to be bringing in a person who's not trustworthy, to be having a person who tells me something but never follows through or whatever? I'm talking to think like as a boss, like all these things, what things rub you the wrong way and make you feel like you didn't get what you deserved? And then recognize it's you and go through that list again and self-reflect and try to grow yourself. You know, just a quick note on self-sabotage or sabotage, I should say, just sabotage in general, what sabotage is, if something makes you miserable, well, it's familiar, but familiar's safe. So I think I'm going to go with this. That's what sabotage is, really. It's like you could be looking at something square on that list of all these things that are not good for you. And you could be saying, yeah, but that's what I know. That's what I'm comfortable in. And you could be just sitting there accepting it because your body on some level is saying, this is familiar. You know, I want to wake up every morning and know predictably that this person's going to be this and that, and then they're going to, you know, go to breakfast and do that. All those things feel familiar. So that might very well be why you keep accepting it, because your body feels good around it, because your body knows what to expect. It doesn't have to, you know, have this big question mark and that uncertainty and that feeling of like this nerve-wracking, what's next? I don't know. I don't have it in my control. You know, so stop playing it safe and go out and do better is what I'm saying. You know, it makes me think of my son, my oldest son, when he was little, and I don't even know, maybe 3 or 4, but I just remember him getting this splinter in his finger. And I knew in my mind that, yes, it's going to hurt him to pull it out, but it's in his best interest, right? Like getting that thing out of his finger, that way he won't get infections, all this stuff. So basically, I almost had him like pinned down because he was fighting me taking that out so bad. And screaming. It was like traumatic. I'm traumatized from it all these years later. I can't imagine what his subconscious did with all that information. But in my mind, I was doing what was best for him. Now, what's ironic is a few years later, I recognized there's a far better way. You can put something, now this isn't medical treatment, guys, disclaimer here. This is just something I've discovered for myself that if you put a little bit of witch hazel on it, it's like an astringent, basically. That's how it acts. So I take a cotton ball, put a little bit of that on the splinter, just wait a few hours, and it wipes away. Like literally your body will work it out of the skin, push it out. I'm not saying this always works, but it has worked for us. And here's the deal. Do you think that back then I knew there was a second way that was so much easier? My youngest son, he'll have a Band-Aid that is disgusting. He'll be outside playing. Half the Band-Aid rips off, so the cut is exposed anyway, but the Band-Aid's picking up all the dirt and grossness or whatever along the way. Now, the other half of the Band-Aid's still stuck to his skin. Of course, it makes sense to rip it off because at this point, it's not doing the cut any benefit, and it is now covered in dirt and potential things that can cause infection. It has to come off. He, just like his older brother, will freak out if I'm going to just rip that thing, just rip the Band-Aid off, right? That nasty, dirty Band-Aid. You know it's in their best interest. But again, I'm going to be causing more trauma by just ripping that thing off. I don't know. Maybe just find a better way, right? It still needs to come off. But door number two, maybe that doesn't involve my kids hating me and fearing me for life. It might just be a better option, right? So what's your bad advice that you've been hanging on to for far too long because it feels familiar and it feels safe, right? This is just a big disclaimer, a reminder here. Don't sit in your castle making judgments. It's not about looking at other people, making that list of all their faults. Like I said, I mean, that was a sort of a example of an exercise you could do to just sort of look at things sometimes from an outsider's perspective and recognize, whoa, there's stuff that needs work here. But what I'm suggesting is this is not a list of stuff that they need to work on. Now you just created a list of things you need to work on, right? Get off your high horse, stop making judgments. This person was attracted to your world because they are like you. That means that that element of their ego or darker side that you don't like so much likely exists in you as well. You know, so before you start throwing stones and blaming around, take the time to just do some inner work. You know, sometimes you leading the way with your own healing will lead them to grow anyway. And not just because you're going to throw it in their face of how much better you've gotten, you know, don't start playing those games. I know people that do that stuff and it's ridiculous. It's not a race to growth and who's better. You know, it's shoving stuff in your partner's face is never going to get you a better outcome. You know, I do have a friend who's been doing enormous amounts of work. And when you start finding yourself quickly growing, it takes a minute for your partner or whatever to catch up. I mean, if you really are evolving that much, it's great. It's wonderful. But it can lead sometimes to you getting judgy over other people who aren't on that same spiritual growth path as you. And sitting up high and looking down your nose at people, it's not going to improve those relationships. Just keep working on you, getting better. And like, they'll see, first of all, how evolved or air quoting, but you know, how much better you've gotten. But it should inspire them, not make them feel less, not make them feel like, you know, look at me up here. I've done all this and you're just still doing that. The same old patterns. That doesn't help. It just doesn't. And if you really want to see them grow with you, I say just keep acting better because you won't trigger them as much anymore. You know, we're all here to sort of bring out other people's stuff so they can grow and work through it. But if you really are no longer triggering them because you're sitting in a much better place of just self-respect and feeling good about things and being a better listener instead of always, you know, chiming in with your arguments and all this, as you get to that point, they're not going to have anything to get all fired up and throw things back in your face. You know, it's like playing ping pong by yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like there's nothing. Nobody's firing anything back anymore. There's no more argument. It really does dissolve arguments in a big way if you stop always, you know, hitting the ball back their way again. They can keep throwing like the ping pong ball onto your side of the table and you can just let it hit and fire off to the right, to the left, over your head. Let it happen. It's like, I don't know why I always go to sports analogies, but it makes me think of the basketball going out of bounds. Sometimes you just let it go because you know they're the last one that touched it. Just let it go. And then it's going to be your ball. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't always have to receive what they're throwing your way and then get all offended and then fire back. If you end the game by just allowing them to say how they feel, because they are right in that. Everybody is, that's the word I'm looking for. Like, you know, they should be able to have their own opinion around things. It's not your way is the only way. Their truth is their truth, you know? So allow them to have their truth and speak their truth and feel it, all the stuff. And don't be reactive to it. Just allow it to bounce off you or just dodge it a little, you know, and let it go out of bounds. Don't keep being the receiver for it. Because if you stop being the receiver, no one's playing anymore, right? So eventually everything quiets down and everybody's getting along. Because now you can take a time out and sort of just, I don't know, look at the shiny side of things. If you can find somebody's good qualities and spend a little time focusing on that, there's a reason that they're in your world to begin with. I'm not going to sign up for a job where I hate my boss, where this person is miserable and what their company is doing is awful. I probably joined that company because I liked their message. You know, I felt aligned with this group of people. I could see where I could contribute positively, you know? So there's a reason that you got involved to begin with, or in a relationship, why you jumped in with this person to begin with, because you saw the good stuff, or why you've always gotten along with your brother when you were younger, but all of a sudden now in adulthood you don't. It's again, it's likely an imbalance of one person might have done some growth, but what happens then? You can't just keep looking down your nose at, like, why can't you get your act together? Why can't you start to do this for yourself? Why are you still relying on mom and dad for this and that? Whatever it is, whatever story, you know, or whatever triggering thing it is about them, you got to learn to let that go. Let them do it in their own time. Just keep being the shining light, you know, the beacon that's showing them this can be done better, you know? And even if I do fall, like, we'll all have our moments, like, you know, I might fall too, but watch how I get back up and I don't let this problem take me down. But don't then turn around and say that to them. Just show them through your actions, you know? You don't have to then go, look at, I did that and I came out better. No, you don't point out the things you've overcome to people in a way of like, you should be able to do this too. Just do it and then let them observe that it can be better, you know? I know people who don't want to follow in the footsteps of, say, like a parent who made these mistakes. So I'm going to do everything oh so different, right? Be better than they were. That's a weird race, isn't it? They raised you. So it is a very interesting thing, but you hear it a lot of people just wanting to do better than their parents did. I like to look at that as a really positive thing, that when each generation wants to do better than the last. I feel like that's what every single parent since the dawn of time has done, right? Because you want that. You want to be able to take your experience and then how could it have been better? And then provide that for your children. That's just the way it is. You know, you take what you know and you try to do it a little bit better for the next generation. But it's not helpful if you let it become a sort of wedge in your relationship with these people around you, and you always want to keep throwing it sort of in their face as to say, like, see, why couldn't you have done this for me when I was a kid? How is that helpful? You know, it's already passed. They can't now improve upon it and do better. It's already in the rearview mirror, and you're just throwing it back in their face to what? Make yourself feel better? It really isn't a beneficial thing to the relationship or to their growth or to you, because you're not going to feel better after spewing all that out anyway. You know, so you got to kind of just calm down the self-righteousness a little bit. But when you start feeling like, man, I pour so much into this and yet this person can't seem to meet me where I'm at, I would say start with that list of all the things that you feel like they're not measuring up with. And then let that list serve as your own area of what needs growth. If they're not consistent, that means you're likely not. And even if you're like, no, I'm the most consistent person in the world, the more you're going to fight it, the more I would say you need to reevaluate your life, because there's probably an area of inconsistency, whether it's paying bills or, you know, picking your kids up from school, or I don't know what it is. It could be a million different things, but it's probably not the exact reflection of whatever their inconsistency is, but you probably have an element of it yourself. So do the self-reflection work after you have that list of all your little irritants and just see what is it that you can do to improve your own, that in your own life. And then you'll find less inconsistent people showing up within your world once you are fully healed in that area. I'm going to take a quick break, guys. One, because it's about halfway through the show, and two, because I don't think I've breathed the whole first half. I did not take a breath. I am going way too fast for you guys. I think I'm fired up after my morning interview with Lenny and everything that transpired. So I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to put an ad in and I will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Okay, guys, this is what I've been telling you about that you've been waiting for. My hypnotherapy sessions have been released. They are available for purchase on my website, which is now live. And I think there's something for everybody. And if there's not, I created a custom experience as well, where if you start looking at the list and going, oh my gosh, I need all of these, well, I don't know if we'll be able to custom make that into one package, but we can certainly try to incorporate a few of the different elements all into one that's going to perfectly match what you need. If it does go beyond the three sessions that I have in the package, it might require an additional purchase if you have too many that you're trying to throw in there. We want to be effective, not just try to, you know, throw everything into one hypno session. But I will say, I'm sure that I can accommodate. Always email me if you have questions, if you want to know if there's something I can do for you that you don't see, and we'll see what we can do. So make sure you drop in today's podcast description to get all those links. All right, guys, back to the show. So I mentioned this at the first part of the show while I was all wired up, but I definitely seem to have a gift of seeing through BS in people. Call it a superpower, I don't know, but I've kind of always been able to sort of see the truth in people without, without seeing that veil or that mask. And that's a gift and a curse, because I do fall victim to this. This episode was as much speaking to myself as anything, because I am a people pleaser by nature, but I always want to sort of see people as who they are. So even when they're being like some vindictive person, I still can see when it's coming from a place of protection or anger or fear or whatever. I can always kind of see that underlying, like, yeah, that's not the real them. And so that stuff kind of doesn't shake me that much. But the people pleasing nature in me that's a problem. You know, it really is. That's a problem for me. That's a growth area for me. So a lot of people pleasers fall into this category. I have a lot of people pleasing friends. and they also have this issue of feeling as though they keep attracting people into them that are just not like measuring up. And I've heard something recently about narcissists being attracted to like empath types or something like that. But it kind of makes sense, that dynamic. So to these people pleaser empath types who really just want everyone happy in the room, Libras, sorry, shout out to you guys. But a lot of these types who really just want the peace, everybody to get along, no ruffled feathers. Sometimes that means not being authentic enough, not being sure enough about yourself to express your needs and make good healthy boundaries and stuff. But again, going back to the self-growth piece, it's real easy to sit there as a people-pleasing empath type and look down your nose at somebody who you might call a narcissist, which I hate the label, but or somebody who's a little more in their ego, self-oriented, not as worried about necessarily. They're worried more about how they're presenting themselves to others than how others will feel around them, if that makes sense. So it's easy to look at that group of people and say, oh my gosh, they're so selfish, they're so self-absorbed, and think that you're not getting back what you deserve because you're pouring into them. In that equation, I'm going to say something that I've never heard anyone say this before, and I'm pretty sure I might be on an island by myself in this, but I truly believe in that equation, the person that needs the most work is the people pleaser. Okay, like afraid of, I kind of just shivered a little because I can feel the energy right now. I know what y'all are thinking is like, no way in heck am I the unhealthy one here. I just said narcissist. I just said selfish. Like, this is how extreme this person is. And you're not hearing me. I'm doing everything. I'm pouring in. But it is the enabling factor here that you're not seeing. It's the fact that, why do you think they haven't grown? Why do you think that's what they keep showing? It's because of you. I hate to say that because it's me, guys. I'm on your side here. I am the same way, but I am doing the work because what I do know is that I've had relationships with people, and I just mean like friendships and stuff I'm talking about right now, but where I'm always trying to like make it easy on them, you know, like trying to go somewhere where, you know, it's a simple location for them, or they don't have to put in as much of the work or effort, make it simple on everybody else, to my own, you know, neglect, but also it's not helping them out. Do you know what I'm saying? Now they're getting used to everybody in their world always accommodates what's good for them. And if they don't, now all of a sudden they're like, well, what the heck? Because the people have always done for them. It's like if you're the parent cutting your kid's steak for them and they're 12 years old. And I have seen parents do this. And it's like, what are you doing? At this point, he can't even be independent. Is it his fault or is it yours? Because that's the best way to look at this. And I, guys, again, this isn't mental health advice. Please don't take any of this and like, you know, go out there and make poor decisions on my word here. But I'm just telling you that from what I can observe, when you're in those dynamics, self-work will help the relationship more than you can realize. Because eventually, first of all, either the kid's going to step up and figure out how to cut their own meat, you know, but because if you keep doing it, they don't have the opportunity to do it for themselves. If you put the plate in front of them and then it's already cut, I mean, hello. But my point being, when you're in this dynamic with this person and you're getting all up in your stuff and frustrated with them, realize what your contribution has been. Have you been catering to that all along? Have you been like trying to make it easy on them? And in doing that, you know, buffered them from seeing the reality, or compromised yourself, and like all these things. If you can heal that part of you that has to keep making it okay for them, or is living out of fear of, if I speak my truth, if I'm honest about how this is making me feel or what I need, then they could leave, or they could be mad at me, or I might lose that friendship, or, you know, my kid might not like me as much. They might like their, you know, stepmother more than they like me, or like whatever it is. What you got to get past that, because if you keep trying to just make people like you or be accepted or whatever it is, and then you're not being in line with what you need and want, you're never going to get what you need and want. And you can't get mad at the person for not giving it to you. Does that make sense? Like, you just can't be mad at the person who's not providing you with what you need and want if all along you've acted as if it's not what you need or want. I mean, you might throw a few words in like, hey, I need more of this from you. I need more of your time, or I need more of whatever it is that you're, you know, feeling neglected with. But if you haven't drawn like a hard line in the sand and been like, this is what I need more of, or I have to find it elsewhere, or you know, if it's with a child or something, like, I need you to step up and do this, or here is the consequence. If you haven't yet given a consequence to, like, if I don't get it, here's what's going to happen, then, you know, how do you really expect growth? You have to grow first and be strong enough to say, here's my boundary and here's how I will defend that boundary. You know, I will only allow this in my life. And it does not mean being somebody up on your high horse, looking down, being like, I am so wonderful that I need my person to be perfect or I walk. That's ridiculous. And I hear that a lot too, by the way. Actually, I've seen that play out this week a couple times. And what has happened with my friends is they found themselves alone, for one, but also like, you know, sitting there feeling like I did the right thing till they actually do the right thing. And then they don't like what happens from it. Like, you, if you're going to make a choice, I'm going to leave this job, you know, I'm going to take my kid's iPad if they keep doing this or whatever it is, break up with this person. You have to then in your mind mentally prepare, because I leave this job and because if they don't give me the hours off they've promised me, I'm walking this time. Great, fantastic. Now you go into work, they don't do what they're supposed to do, you walk. Are you actually feeling good about that decision? Because here's the thing, if you play it out in your mind, like if they do, great, here's what'll happen. If they don't, I'm gonna walk and this is what'll happen. I hope you've prepared yourself for that. Like, have other job opportunities lined up. Know what you're going to do with yourself. Like, have that scenario played out. Don't just, like, yank the rug out and then your world is torn apart, you know, or take your kid's iPad and now you've got a four-hour car ride where they're driving you crazy in the back seat screaming and yelling with their sibling and you're like, why did I take their iPad? That's their nice quiet time in a car. And now you're beating yourself up because you held your ground for the first time by taking away something that you can't live with. Or you break up with that partner because they're not meeting your expectations. And now you're crying on a Friday night because you got no date. I mean, think it through. Make sure that the consequence is something you can live with. Make sure that whatever act you're about to take is actually in line with benefiting the both of you. Because just doing it because you drew a line in the sand and this is what's I'm no longer going to tolerate, but yet you haven't really thought through what it means, is crazy. You know, that's not something you want to do. You don't want to draw some hard line in the sand that hurts yourself. You want to be growing yourself. So that line in the sand is a great thing to have, that boundary. But know what happens when somebody crosses that line. You know what that looks like. Because sometimes it can just be like, okay, they crossed the line and now I need to let my boss know that this is what's happened consistently as a pattern and I'm beginning to not trust you as an employer, that like what you say is actually going to be followed through on. And I don't want to have to start looking for other jobs, but I don't feel respected in my job currently because, you know, I'm being told that something will be one way and then it's ending up the other way. Like, that's a healthy conversation where growth can happen on both sides. They'll be able to see your point of view and be able to like step up a little on their end. You're giving an opportunity. You're not just saying, hey, if this happens again, I'm out. And then like it happens again and you leave and nobody talked about it. They might not have even recognized. It could be the person that, you know, signed you on for those extra hours with that you were supposed to be off was the new girl who didn't know any better. And we just needed to make some adjustments. And now you just overreacted and lost your job, you know, or with your kid and the iPad. I mean, there are other options. There's always the second and third door. You know, why the iPad? I mean, yes, usually it's the first thing I think of because I know they'll miss it the most. They'll be the most upset if they lose that special thing. So often it'll be what I want to take. But also, I could have had a better conversation with my kid before they did that thing wrong again to say to them clearly, we have a four-hour car ride coming up. I want you to have this iPad. It's a calm time in the car for you and me. I want that for you. But if you keep acting this way, I have to give you a consequence that's gonna hurt a little so that you remember in your mind, oh yeah, mom means business when she says this. I need to make sure I'm doing my part. So I'm gonna have to make a big punishment that you're not gonna like. So can you please make the change now so you don't have to have that, you know, sad outcome that we're both gonna hate. It's like that, you know? And then in a relationship, I mean, guys, how many times do we just feel like, oh, I've communicated to them a million times that I need them to, you know, call me before blah, 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 I don't know. Whatever it is, whatever your little argument is, and then they don't do it. Always the same thing. That's it. If they do it one more time, I'm out. I mean, again, have we communicated? The communication thing's killing me. I mean, literally, all it might be is to say to them, I need you to call me before you leave so that way I can start dinner. I don't know, whatever it is, your thing. But and if you don't, like dinner, I can't have dinner ready at the right time. And I know I've said this to you. I know things get busy, but this is really important to me and my plan for the whole night. If I don't get it, it messes up my entire night. And I can't make your life easier by having your dinner warm on the table when you get home. And then I can't make sure the kids are showered up before because sometimes then they're in the middle of their shower when dinner's on the table. So for me to coordinate all this, I just need to know that when you leave, just one simple phone call. And they might say back to you, that doesn't work for me because most of the time I'm on a call. You know, that's when I use my time to call my coworkers or my employee or whatever. So that doesn't ever work for me. And so then I have to wait. By the time I'm off that call, you know, I'm practically pulling in the driveway already. So you could say something, a compromise, like, that's perfect, I get it, that makes sense. So how about just send me a text? You know, you can stay on that phone call, just send me a quick text, that just one word, leaving. Perfect, you know, because maybe it's the 5-minute phone call with you about all your woes from the day that they don't have time for right now. And they need to call their employee so they don't have to deal with that when they get home. They want to be able to just kick their shoes off and relax. Do you know what I mean? Like, talk about it. Because I don't think we can have compassion for other people if we really don't understand their struggle. But I mean, at least for me, I'm a reasonable person. So when you have something that makes sense, I get it. I want to support that, but I still need what I need. So like, work, how can we make this work? Like, oh, perfect. Text. Yeah. Boop. Done. I mean, it's just like in our own heads. But the funny part is so many people will like complain to others about it. You guys ever notice like all the buzz of like a bunch of men get together or a bunch of women get together and all of a sudden they're like complaining about their spouse? I never understood that. And I'm grateful in my marriage I never had that. I was not a proponent of having people hate my husband, and he didn't really want people thinking I was a nagging wife. Why would you present them in that light to your friends? I'm going to start there. Like, that's ridiculous. Keep your private stuff to your own business, because it does not help your relationship to go out and get other people fired up that they are in the wrong. It doesn't serve anybody, and it is not fair to your partner, who should be held above all of those relationships. So start there. But if you're complaining amongst your friends about what your spouse is doing, why on earth have you not sat down and had a reasonable conversation with them? That's the only place where the growth and the change can happen. It's not like venting to your buddies is going to somehow get you out of that conflict. But if you do express yourself and give your relationship the time it deserves, and actually spent a little time going through the why you want that or why that would be helpful to you, maybe then some growth could happen. It's like, what on earth? Just say to them, you drive me crazy when you keep putting your dirty clothes in a pile over there when the hamper is literally right next to it, because it looks gross. If somebody shows up at the door, we've got like dirty clothes piles on the floor, which if I don't want it to look like that, means I have to pick it up. But I'm already picking up mine and the kids, and now I have to pick up yours. Like, if you said that, what do you think they're going to say to that? Like, they'd probably go inward and go, yeah, it's kind of crazy. You're not my mom. I can pick up my own dirty clothes. But there might also be another thing. This is like a little side story. My husband was like way neater than I was, even. Like, he was really almost OCD of clean. So this wasn't our scenario. But I will say, he would often have this one pile of clothes that he loved to just have on the floor. And so one day I was like putting things in drawers and stuff just to get, I wanted to vacuum. It was in the way. I threw it in his drawer and he was like, what was that? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, it's like something that he had worn to go outside and like, I don't know what he did. I don't know if he just like threw it on to go to the mailbox or whatever it was. Like, in his mind, it was dirty. I've worn it before and I don't want to forget that it's not like clean, but he's not worn it enough for him to think he needed to throw it in the hamper. So it was like a pile he had just set there. So he would know, like, if I need to go outside and do outdoor work again, I'm going to grab that. Like, in his own mind, there was a whole thing around it. Like, he had made a decision. It wasn't dirty and it wasn't clean. It was somewhere in the middle. And so I'm going to leave it right here. So next time I go out, I'm going to see it, grab that, instead of wasting a whole nother set of clothes, which actually I appreciate, because that's less laundry instead of like him just wearing it for 1 minute like my kids do outside and then throwing it in the dirty clothes. So communication, though, we were really big communicators, always would just right away, like the second you raise an eyebrow, speak it. Like, if you're like, why is this person doing this? Or what the heck? Why did you leave that there? Say it out loud instead of in your head or to your friends. Like, just speak it. Like, what is this? Why on earth do you leave that there? And almost always there's a reason. People don't just act out of nothing. I mean, some people, yeah, might have a little lazy tendency to just like want to strip it off after work. And they might say to you, I was just exhausted after work and I just left a trail of clothes on the way to the shower. I was going to grab it afterwards and then this got crazy and that. Okay. You know, I mean, if it's a pattern, after a while, you might say, you know, here's what could happen is like you could do the laundry all week. Or I can keep doing it and all you have to do is pick up your clothes. I don't know. I'm making that up. I've never had that scenario, but who knows? But talking about it has got to come to better resolution than just complaining about it. And certainly looking down your nose at people or getting irritated or allowing it to affect the relationship or making big rash decisions like quitting a job. You know, these are things that are avoidable. You know, you can fix relationships by just saying more, talking more. Don't internalize things. And also, to the people pleasers out there, don't just swallow it down. You know, shoving it down is not the same as processing it. When you shove it down, it's a problem for later that can lead to sickness in your body. When you process it, it means that you're aware of it and you work through it, right? And a lot of the times that processing and working through can be helped by communication, because once you talk about it, understanding can happen and then growth can happen. You know, give yourself the opportunity to grow and get better. Give your partner or your boss or your kid or whatever the opportunity for growth as well within that relationship with you. Stitch, really? You know, for the same reason, they deserve to be able to heal and get better. It is not going to benefit anybody just to be annoyed with a person and grow in resentment and not speak the truth. So again, I come back to the empaths, the people pleasers. Look in the mirror. And I am doing this hardcore this week because I feel like I've been doing more finger pointing than looking in the mirror lately. And it's not fair. It's not right. And also, when I have drawn lines, I have acted in ways that, you know, I think will benefit me. But really, in the end, I feel like hurt me just as much as anybody else involved, you know. And when you're standing on, you know, on these boundaries or standing your ground on something, just make sure it's solid ground that you've built beneath you, you know, that there's real reasons for it. And I'm not going to ever excuse bad behavior on the other end of things, all those narcissists, self, you know, loving, never giving types, you know, like they're, sometimes those extremes are extreme. And so those are not what I'm speaking on. I'm just saying the people who sometimes tend to be not being so thoughtful for you, it's oftentimes because you've allowed for that. You have maybe not been communicating well enough. You have been trying to people please and make everything okay. And in doing every single one of those acts, you're not really giving space for them to grow as a person or for them to even change and evolve and get better. It's like, you know, you're too quick to run away. And, you know, I've never been a runner. I will stick through. Usually I stick around long enough to where, again, like if it starts to be to your own detriment, you've stuck around too long. If you're, even if you're just trying to like be there supportively for somebody, you know, don't allow yourself to become a punching bag. That is not the message today at all. It's about trying to get to a place where you can both grow from it. And where you recognize there's no imbalance in who's more to blame in this, because both sides of any problem have something they're contributing to it. It is, I've never seen it before where it's all one side and none on the other. So anytime you ever have an argument with somebody, if you're expecting an apology, but you're not expecting to apologize, you better start looking in the mirror a little bit. There's almost never a circumstance where they've done everything wrong and you have done nothing, you know? So even if you are owed an apology, think about in what ways have you also contributed? Because sometimes it's important to also own your share in it. Like, no, yes, you need to hear the apology. They've acted way out left field. But then when it comes in for you to also be able to say, you know, I should have been more patient. I should have explained more, communicated better, you know, as I was feeling this way or whatever it is, own your little bit in it at least. And it will really help the overall relationship in big ways. As far as Lenny's podcast, guys, it breaks my heart only because it was so good. It was so good. Like it's rare when I'm done recording one of these where I just feel like I'm beaming. Him and I were just so happy at how it came. We didn't stop once. It was a full record from beginning to end. No preparation, no plan. I didn't tell him what any of the questions were going to be. We just talked. And it was perfect. And obviously, like I just went through on this episode, we might think like, you know, I might want to point my finger and like, oh, there's something wrong with Zoom and it's all GarageBand's fault or whatever it is. But no, I'm going to own this. This was something that either I screwed up without realizing it, or like universe, God intervened, and there is a reason why that episode was not meant to air this week. Maybe there was something in this week's episode that somebody out there needed to hear, so this episode had to be released this week. It could be that too. But I'm not going to lose any tears over it. I'm not going to fret. We will re-record that. You'll have it, and it'll probably be even better for it. So, all right, guys. Thanks for joining this week, and I'll see you again next week.